Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we're going to be focusing on the 23rd Perek, the 23rd chapter of Sefer Yeshayahu. And this actually completes our 11 chapter description that Yeshayahu has turning to the rest of the world. We focused on a lot of different countries, and this particular focus is going to be primarily at the city of Tsor. It seems like a coastal city. We're going to discuss where and what this actually is in just a moment. But most of the Perek is taken up by describing the fall and the rise of Tsar. This is, again, Yeshayahu's international prophecies that he is describing. So here's the first section of the Perek really is the description of the fall of the city called Tsar, which takes rise from Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Yodalad. Sort of broad terms, what's fascinating is that as Yeshayahu turns to Tsar, to this city, he, in a certain sense, doesn't turn to the city, meaning to say, he doesn't really address it, he addresses the people around it. Here's how it goes. He talks about how the ships of Tarshish will mourn over the loss of the city of Tsar because they were trade partners, meaning Tsar is falling, but who is mourning is the trade partner Tarshish. All the surrounding islands in the Mediterranean will also be silent. Sidon, that's further up the coast north in Sidon, which used to fill you, will also be silent. All the products of the great rivers of Egypt will cease to trade with you. Meaning to say, these are all the neighbors there. This is the collateral damage of the destruction of Tsar. The sea itself will mourn. It's a beautiful description. Ki omar yom ma'oza yom le'mor, lo chalti v'lo yaladti v'lo gidalti b'achurim ramamti b'sulos. It's the sea itself will mourn over the loss of the city of Tsar. And all the Mediterranean traders will now need to turn their trade toward Tarshish because there's no longer a place to seek refuge in Tsar. Egypt, when they hear the destruction of Tsar, will be in fear that the destruction will reach themselves. People will say, when they hear about this, how could we, such a vibrant, such a joyful city, have all her children being refugees abroad? Who could have imagined this? Yeshayahu answers, well, the answer is very simple, similar. Hashem tzavakos yi'atzah. Hashem willed it to be. Lechalel ga'oin called Tzvi, to empty out the arrogance of this, the beauty of this place. Lechakel gol nichbedei oretz, to empty it of those honorable people of the land. And it is as if Hashem metaphorically stretches out his hand across the sea to detract from traders who come to Tsar. Hashem is withholding. It is a supernatural intervention that Tsar should be broken down, in fact. And then Hashem turns to those inside and to Tzidon and says, those who reach out to trade with Tsar, well, Hashem will expand that they should seek other trade partners in the lands of the Kittim and the other people around them, not themselves. Even the Kastim who own it, it was not really them. It was the Assyrians who built it and the Philistines who established it, and they themselves destroyed it. And thus, this bastion of security along the coast will be destroyed. Very interesting section. It is fascinating that really Hashem doesn't turn to Tsar itself, but describes the reactions of all those people around it. Where is Tsar? So Tsar is the Phoenician port called Tyre, or Sur, as is sometimes pronounced. It's on the south of where the land of Lebanon is, which is the city of Tyre. It's the southmost major port in Lebanon. It is south of Sidon and south of Beirut. So it was one of the major seaports, one of the major trading ports in Phoenicia. Where is Tarshish? So we know where Tyre is, we know where Sidon is, which are both mentioned. Where is Tarshish? This is a matter of debate. It is clearly a Mediterranean port city, but there's a lot of debate. You know, the Septuagint and the Vulgate suggest that it is the city called Carthage, which is in North Africa. Others suggest that it might be an area, it might be Tunis, or even others suggest that it might be Sardinia. Whatever it is, it's deep Mediterranean, which seems to be one of the larger trade partners with this city called Tyre. It is interesting to note that the Tanakh does not tell us who is coming to destroy it, meaning a lot of destruction is being described, but the actual antagonist is not being described. The Malbim points out that this is clearly from the destruction of Babylon. Babylon is coming along, and as Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar expands and takes over the entire Assyrian Empire and the whole area, they are the ones who destroy it. But the Radak adds a little bit of a wrinkle, that it was the Kittim who come in, and betray it. The Kittim were trade partners with Tsar, with Tyre, and they go over to Babylon to suggest to take it over. The Kittim seems to be this area, maybe in the area of Crete, in the area of where Italy is today. Perhaps we're talking about the original Greece, or Cretans, maybe. There's a few different suggestions over here. You can see over here, just by the way, when looking at this whole episode, and there's a lot of backwards and forwards, rebellions, rising powers and falling powers, all very, very frequent at this point in time. Why is this happening? So the Malbim says, well, look in the Pesukim and Pasuk Tes, it's very clear. Hashem says this because of their excessive love for wealth and their love for honor, which is why Hashem is doing this. And sometimes it pays for us to think about, as we read the newspapers, are we reading them with consequence, we'll call it, you know, geopolitical consequence glasses or Tanakh glasses, meaning when you see the economy falling of certain places, when you see economies rising of other places, do we say, it's because of this, that, and so forth? Or do we say, with Tanakh eyes, well, there must have been a reason that Hashem allowed and facilitated it in such a way, and this is what the Navi Yeshayahu is telling us when reading world events. Finally, the parak concludes in the last little section with the reestablishment of Tyre. And what he does, he says that after 70 years of being forgotten, there will be a resurgence in the city of Tyre, and he uses a very shocking metaphor. He's saying like a woman of the night who was once popular and the destination for many people and now forgotten. So he sort of turns to this to this zona, to this woman of the night, and he says, "Kechichinor sobi ir zona nishkocha, hey tivin agenar beshir, go out and play, woman of the night, to the cities and see if you can attract customers who have forgotten you again." And that's how he turns tauntingly to the city of Tyre. And at the end of this, the prophecy, he says, "Don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will yifkod Hashem es Tzor. Hashem will reestablish you. You will become a power again on the Mediterranean coast." But at that time, your esnan, which literally means when people used to acquaint themselves with women of the night, with prostitutes, they would pay their services, let's say, with livestock. And so that livestock would not be able to be used in any holy service in the Beis HaMikdash. It would be called an esnan. In those days, shockingly, Yeshayahu says, "Esnona kodesh la'Hashem." Your trading partners, that which they pay you for your services as being a port again on the Mediterranean coast, will be holy to Hashem. Why? What in the world is going on over here? The Radak says, because it's referring to the times of Mashiach, when ultimately the Tzaddikim will reconquer the area of Tyre, whereas the Malbim says on a more simple level, no, it's referring to the 70 years in which Bavel is in power. After Bavel falls, Persia will take over the area, and under the Persian governance, what will happen is they will actually re-establish trade partnerships with Israel and send help to the re-establishment of the second Beis HaMikdash, and that's why their trade will ultimately be used for a holy purpose. It is fascinating to notice that both Tyre and Israel have faced the same downturn of 70 years and the resurgence after the 70 years as a function of the establishment of the government of Persia, which allow for these micro-governments to have a resurgence. This now closes our 11 chapter description of the world. Now Yeshayahu will return more to the perspective within Israel and the political scenes at the time. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.